Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older. Podcast Network Cousin Sal coming to you on a Monday morning. Yes, Mikey Meatballs fizzing with the Dom's baby face. Joel Solomon is producing this disaster of a show. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, a degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's up, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
We're all happy. All of our three teams won. Harry's is the newest. He's liked them for like 40 days, so it's not as exciting. I don't think the world should rejoice. But Brother Bri's Raiders won. The Parlay Kid and I, our Cowboys beat up on the Washington Commies. I went 10-3-1 yesterday. I think I led the staff at 10-3-1. And, of course, I didn't turn a ton of profit. So I have to sit down with an accountant to see what's going on here. But anyway, let's recap this week four. Start us off, Parlay Kid. Cowboys beat the Commanders 25-10. Cooper Rush, I think he's the only one to win each of his first four career starts. First coming last season in week eight and then three this year. But it's about the defense, isn't it? They suffocated again. Carson Wentz, not a chance. Big win at home.
Yes, Sal, I think, that's the thing. Cooper Rush does get to play behind a terrific defense, unlike a lot of his predecessors in Dallas who did not have that chance. But do we have a quarterback controversy on our hands possibly coming up? Is it possible?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, look, and I always say that because – you know, we saw what happened to Romo. Romo got pushed out because Dak got off to a great start. He got pushed out of there. I don't think Dak should lose his job. Not at all. Dak is probably still, look, he's the better quarterback. But there's going to be some whispers for this. There's no need to rush Dak back either.
Dak looked really, he looked really, really good in like seven straight starts. And I think that's when Romo, and then they won that Pittsburgh game. They should have lost.
All right. Well, now this is up to four straight starts for this guy. And let's face it. I mean, Dak is very good still. I mean, I just think that there's going to be whispers out there. If Dak were to come back and lose a game or two, he's got a little bit more pressure on him, though, now. He does have a little bit more pressure.
You know why they're whispers? Because people are embarrassed to say it out loud. I think that's why. No, listen, he's been good. This is exactly what you're 15 for 27, 223, two touchdowns. Great. Only one sack. Let's see what happens in the Rams. Babyface, is this the Cooper Bowl coming up? Rush versus Cup, right at SoFi. Are we able to trademark that? You got to sell T-shirts, Babyface. Get in there.
This is the first I'm hearing of this, but I think you're the first to call it. So let's roll.
All right. We had Amari Cooper, my God, what a fun time that would be. A three-way Cooper. Of course, the best Cooper is our boss, Cooper Manning. You're never going to top that. So 25-10. Would have been great if the Eagles had blown it, but no, they came back to win. They were losing 14-0 to the Jaguars, everyone's favorite team, Harry. I think like there was no value now on that AFC South bet before this week. They were plus 150, but everybody jumped on it. And Trevor Lawrence, four fumbles, not good at all, and the Eagles win. I want to say bad things about the Eagles. I thought it was great. Oh, my God, Hurts throws a pick six. We're back in business. This is the same old Eagles. And then they run, and fumble on the Jag side, and big win for the Eagles at home.
They were a great running team last year, the Eagles were. And, you know, Hurts didn't have his great best stuff yesterday in the rain. No touchdowns, like you mentioned, the pick sixes right off the bat. But he did rush for his fourth rushing touchdown on the season, tied for the most in the league, and Philly now sits at 4-0 and still on top of the NFC East.
Minus 330 on Caesars to win that division. Little high. I could see if the Cowboys were going away or, you know, I'm not even counting the Giants. We'll get to their game, and Washington's pretty much out of it. Minus 330, you can get plus 340 Parlay Kid on the Cowboys with that coming back and this defense, and they haven't even played the Eagles once yet.
That's 2 weeks away, right? So regardless of what happens probably in this Rams game, if they could pull out a win, which I'm not really banking on that. But it should be very interesting, that Eagles-Cowboys game in Philly in 2 weeks.
Yeah. All right, Brother Bri, it's been too long. Let's congratulate you. You're on the board. Your team's on the board. The Raiders beat the Broncos. I was worried there was going to be some dumb cover from the Broncos, but
yeah.
I felt like you beat them up most of the game. I really do. I think this Broncos offense is limited, obviously even more limited now with Javonte Williams tearing his ACL. He is out. I don't want to brag too much, but he's one of the 26 unders I have. Bet all the unders. You're right. Williams, oof. Mitchell, David Montgomery, guaranteed wins.
Wow. And then there's guys like you just Connor. Need like six, seven more.
Yeah, I mean, right? to completely disappear, and then you got, you know, I'll split the rest of them, and that'll be a win. But anyway, we don't want to sell.
Sal, is Jacobs one of them? Josh Jacobs one of them?
He was one of them, yeah. He's going to go over, yeah.
What a game yesterday.
I think that's the best, the most positive outlook for you there, Brother Bri. He looked like Mike Meatballs and I were watching it. That one run he had where he zigzagged
his
inside.
Jersey
and,
ripped off.
Yeah, I think that was his best run in a couple of years. This is a contract year for him, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, they didn't extend his contract. So, mm-hmm. yeah, he looked really good. He's kind of back to how he looked his rookie season. Mm-hmm. So that was a plus. But I will say, there's still a lot of things I didn't like about this Raider game. Like when the Raiders are down on the goal line, they had a couple of really terrible possessions down there. They were somewhat fortunate. They got the defensive touchdown, which was the first defensive touchdown, it said, like in over 3 years for the Raiders, when Gordon fumbled the ball. That was huge.
But that was huge. The
problem is, again, I've said this before, defensively too, if Crosby, who's just phenomenal, I mean, if he is not making plays, the Raiders are giving up big plays. It's just amazing how one guy...
He's still the only one that has sacks on this team, bro.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's just the one guy, though, who really just creates havoc. And if they do anything defensively, it's pretty much because of him.
In general, he's the only one. Nate Hobbs had a sack yesterday, I'm looking. But yeah, 144 from Jacobs. I don't love this Denver team at all. I really don't.
No.
I think they, you know, like I said on Simmons yesterday, you take Javonte Williams out now, and with their schedule, I could see a 5-12. I'm telling you. I know this Thursday night game against the Colts, we're going to see a lot of three-day rest. Those teams are both junk. But with the schedule that they have, there's no catching your breath if you're Russell Wilson, right? Like, you just got to go, all right, either you're in sync with these receivers or not, because you're not going to have like a Seattle, Detroit, Houston stretch in that schedule. So I don't know. I'm really down on them. But Parley Kid, I don't know. I'm trying to think. So now look at the West. Chiefs, cream of the crop. I got down on football. I was like, is anyone good? I think I tweeted yesterday. I'm like, all right, you know what? Maybe I should take a step back. You're not going to have 2-9-0 teams squaring off in week 10, right? And you're not going to have, you know, maybe the Bills don't score 45 a week, but Bills and Chiefs still cream of the crop. And the Chiefs, boy, they showed it against the Bucks, running it up on them. Bucks never had a chance. Really didn't. Fumbled the kickoff.
Is it? Well, Sal, you know, you're speaking about that, and it's interesting because we talked about this when we did the over-unders, that the NFC East, in terms of their over-unders, the overs were surprisingly high in that division, and maybe it's because it's the lack of strength of schedule there, but does any division have more wins than the NFC East right now?
No.
With a 4 and a 3 and a 3 right there? I mean— who would have thought 12, what are we up to? 11 wins in that division. I don't think anybody could have predicted that. So when we talk about, like, you know, Russell Wilson's not going to have a stretch of Seattle, this or that, I don't know if it even matters. The bottom line is the Chargers aren't really that good. The difference between the team like the Chargers and the Lions is probably really not that great. Mm-hmm. It's really not. I don't think the disparity right now amongst the real what we thought were the lower echelon teams, and some of maybe even the teams we thought were pretty good, isn't really that. It's not even that much, and I don't even know anymore of what we're seeing. So,
well, I'll take it a step further. I think, like, you know, we normally see the team with the number one draft pick has 2 wins or 3 wins, or with 2 weeks left they have 1 win or haven't won, right? Like, it's Detroit or Jacksonville. The worst team might have 5 wins this year. I'm looking at the Bears. I still think they're the worst. They're 2-2. It's going to be hard for them not to have 4 or 5 wins, right? Who is the worst team? We talked about this. Maybe, babyface, it is your Steelers, who could really be 0-4. I guess they could be 2-2 also. But other than that, Carolina's bad. Washington's bad. But these teams have such weird games on their schedule. They might, you know, kick it out of their own way. They might still win, right? Like you talk about the Giants and the NFC East having a lot of wins. Well, they have teams like the Bears on their schedule.
But you see, so the teams like you mentioned, like the Bears and the Panthers, see, they still play great defense. And when you play great defense, you can steal games, right? Mm-hmm. So their defenses are still, there's not many teams that have a bad offense and a bad defense, right? They don't see that in the NFL right now. So all these teams can steal wins throughout the season. I wouldn't, like, if you were playing the Panthers, you wouldn't feel great like, oh, we're definitely beating the Panthers this week. There's no way you could feel that way, right?
The Texans are 0-3-1. They've not won a game yet. And yet that's not a team that a typical awful team that we're used to where you're like, oh, they're going to struggle to score 10 points a game, right? They'll be in there. That's tied 17, 21, 24. But back to one thing we thought we can count on is the Bucs defense. I know they had some turnovers in their own zone, which led to scores. But 189 rushing yards to Kansas City. Clyde Edwards-Helaire looks like a star with 92. Isaiah Pacheco, 63. Bri, now you get this team, and you never beat this team. We'll get to picks later in the week, but you got to be impressed with Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I mean, I'm never confident in the Raiders going in there and winning. I mean, you know, look, we've shocked them maybe twice over the years, which it's always a shock if we win that game. But yeah, they're impressive. I mean, this last night was one of those things. I don't even know if you can necessarily hate on Tampa's defense. I think it was just one of those games, right? They got off to a bad start immediately. Mm-hmm. You can't fumble that kickoff in that spot. They had another turnover. Rushing defense was surprising, but I think it was just one of those games. Mahomes was just making plays all over the place. So
it really just doesn't matter who he's throwing to. Oddly enough, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, which was one of the bigger names coming into the season for him, not really doing it. I know he had 3 receptions for 63, but with Kelce as his go-to, Juju Smith-Schuster, like he hits like a Jody Fortson for a touchdown. You know, he's working Sky Moore in there. It doesn't matter what names are on the jerseys with Kansas City. They get it done. And so that was a big road win for sure. What else do we want to hit on? All right, Harry, your Vikings survived the Saints in London 28-25. The double doink, Lutz missed field goal, would have sent it to overtime. And Kirk Cousins bailed out by Greg Joseph. How do you feel about this Vikings pick?
Look, they lost close games all last year. They lost 9 games. 8 of them were by 7 points or less. They are 2-0 in the close games this season. Jefferson bounced back after being invisible last couple of games with 10 catches, 147 yards. It was nice to see Adam Thielen still be productive, had his best game the season as well. But yeah, you know, I'm a little worried about Cousins. Last year, 33 touchdowns. And 7 picks, just 7 picks for the whole season. He's already got 4. The pick he threw yesterday was terrible. It was so underthrown. He had a couple, there were some drops by Minnesota, but the problem, again, they don't put teams away, and they did. Now they did a Green Bay in week 1, but still,
I thought their defense was supposed to be better. I thought we can go over their offensive numbers and their stars, but their defense was supposed to be better. Andy Dalton kind of got a first down almost whenever he needed it in the second half. And I feel that about the Packers too. Like both these defenses, the front 7 was supposed to be dynamite, and I'm not seeing it. Packers minus 125 to win that division. I'm not sure about that. Vikings already have the win in hand over them. Vikings plus 125. I don't know, Parley Kid, which way are you going with this NFC North?
I'm still on the Packers, right? I'm not going to give up on them. Yeah. I mean, Rodgers is, I think, getting a little bit more comfortable with this receiver set he has, and they can run the ball pretty well with that. They have a pretty good duo there. Their defense always seems to be okay, good enough. Rodgers is just a winner, so I wouldn't. You could basically ask him if I want to go with Rodgers or Cousins. I'm taking Rodgers. That's as simple as that. I got to take Rodgers.
Can I say this, though? I don't know what, by the way, no MVP for Rodgers. Pick 6 yesterday, and they were fortunate to be. Zappy looked decent, too, for the Patriots filling in. But when Rodgers is wearing his baseball hat now, Can I not that I have any hair to talk about, but
oh, here we go,
that thing is going on in the back of his hair, it's ridiculous. It's awful. It's disgusting looking. So stupid. Get it cut off or wear the hat right, Rodgers. Please. It looks stupid. Just let me know.
If Aaron Rodgers, it's not fair because he never got to see your toupee circa 1992. I think you got to bring that back.
I thought we weren't discussing that ever again.
Well, if you're going to be an expert on hair, we got to give a little background to the
people. We'll find some pictures of that. Mikey Meatballs can post them online.
Harry, did you just throw that in the trash? What did you do with that? I mean, really Harry had aspirations to be like a CNN sports anchor or something.
I was living with your ex-roommate, Lou. And in Vegas, and just one day I said, F this, and I just took it off, ripped it off, and I just threw it in the trash out of the shower.
Because I think the idea was
it was annoying and it was expensive.
Well, it was expensive to keep up, but you had no vision of upkeep. Like, right, you pay like $750 for it. You wanted to be done, but they wanted like $90 a month.
I knew there was upkeep every month or month and a half.
Special shampoos and stuff. You wouldn't use them.
Special shampoos. They had to recut my hair, my real hair underneath, real well to an extent. It just was. Then that had to be manicured. It was just terrible. It was too much.
Manicured. That cut into your parlay money. You weren't having it. Babyface.
It cut into my roulette money.
You haven't seen a picture of Harry with his toupee, right?
This is breaking news for me. Wow. And I like that it was the upkeep.
Hair club for men. Hair club for men.
Oh, is that what it was? Harry watched a lot of TV back then. Well, there's a hair club in the trash. It would have been great if you threw it in Cliff Kingsbury's trash, but I'm wishing too much here. Yeah, the Packers didn't look great. They needed overtime. They got lucky. I also didn't like, I talked about this with Simmons. What are we going to do about this clock expiring and the referees not being on top of it? I mean, that was like a two Mississippi count that Zappy threw that touchdown on there. So I was mad at Packers money line, obviously, on a bunch of stuff. So I propose that the ball should explode when the clock goes to zero. Put a chip in there. You can put a chip in any animal these days or human or whatever. Why not put it in the ball when it hits zero? That ball, that's it. Explosion there. What were you going to say, Harry?
I was just going to say, you mentioned Kingsbury. I just want to throw something in with the Cards win yesterday. Mm-hmm. Kind of weird. A weird team here. They are 10-1. 10-1 straight up in their last 11 games on the road. And in their last 7 games at home, they're 0-7.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Nuts.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that team. They're fighting with each other, and it was actually their best win of the year. I don't trust Kingsbury at all. He was up 16 and went for 2 in the fourth quarter.
I think the kicker was hurt.
Was the kicker hurt?
Oh, man.
I guess
Prater was hurt. Prater was hurt, but he did start the game.
Nobody can make an extra point.
It's nuts, right? I know. That was strange. That was strange.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Kingsbury. I'll cut you some slack there. But anyway, that's another team that I don't trust. Arizona, they're playing the Eagles. Now I'm going to be rooting for them. But so that was a win over the lifeless Panthers. Parley Kid, you said that's your pick for worst team? Panthers? Well, who said that? Brian?
I don't know who my pick for worst team is right now.
Michael's. Right.
That's Michael's pick for worst team?
Yeah. They're lifeless.
May we see Darnold resurface here? Quarterbacking?
They're saying, Darren, that he's going to be out longer than expected.
Oh my gosh. Darnold. Well, that's who they're rolling. I guess Baker's had his chance. I can't believe how bad he's been. I'm really trying
to figure out how the book is going to be written on Baker, because he is a polarizing figure. Never really did too much to get the accolades that he did. And then he flipped it around and had everyone feeling bad for him. But if you look, take a break and look back at his history, his game logs, Not a half a dozen great games in there. There really aren't. I mean, he beat the Steelers in the playoffs. It was a weird game anyway. That was huge. You know, fought, stayed close with the Chiefs.
He does get credit for that.
Stayed close with the Chiefs a week later or whatever it was. But, you know, the commercials and everything have, like, pushed him, his Q rating higher than what we should be considering him as a quarterback. So Panthers are in trouble. That coach is in trouble. I'm looking at coach of the year. That's another one. Staley, Parley Kid. Now they beat the Texans and they end up covering 34-24.
Same story with those guys.
3 touchdowns. Well, going into the year, he was the odds on favorite to win coach of the year. And by the third quarter or whenever Houston was, driving the fourth quarter, you're like, oh my God, is this guy going to get fired? what's going on here? But right now you can get him at 15-1. Nick Sirianni of the Eagles plus 180.
Nice. That was my pick, guys.
There you go. Yeah, you had him, right?
Yeah. What's O'Connell?
You got him at, Mike, Bry.
What was he? Was he 14-1 or 20-1? Yeah. I can't remember.
Somewhere in 16, I thought. Mike McDaniel plus 750. Doug Peterson 9-1. Kevin O'Connell 10-1. Brian Daboll 15. I don't know. I guess Sirianni's going to – I'm trying to think who's definitely making the playoffs out of those teams. Peterson, Floor. I mean, Sean McDermott's still 20, Darren. Crazy. Let's go to that Bills game.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Bills beat the Ravens 23-20. I don't think that game was as exciting as we wanted it to be. I only really focused on it in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, so we looked at it.
Lamar got picked twice, right? They've lost five in a row at home now. That's very weird for this Ravens team. And then the Bills did a masterful job in that. One of those things where a minute left, no timeouts for the other team. The game is tied. I'm like, oh, wow. I don't even know what to do at the five-yard line here. But McDermott handled it perfectly, and the Bills win 23-20. It's a push on the spread, Bri, but they're back. Yeah. It's the Bills and Chiefs, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was weird. It was a weird game, right? Because it was almost like the Bills were going through the motions, right, early in that game. It was a bad turnover early by Allen. Wasn't necessarily his fault. It was kind of Knox's fault on that play that got picked off. But, yeah, and then once it got to the second half, that's kind of the Bills, right? The way their offense moved the ball late in that game was kind of what you expect from them all the time. So they just got off to a rough start. But yes, it was for a close game that came down to the wire between two very good teams. It was weird that it wasn't necessarily a great game. But God, Harbaugh not kicking the field goal there. I mean, Darren and I were yelling at the TV there. Like, what are you doing? Like, we were so shocked. I mean, it wasn't, again, if you're on the 1 yard line, it's different.
What was it? The three? Was that the three?
It was like the three.
Two and a half.
Right. Yeah, it was close. Yeah, close to three. So I mean,
maybe Fitz, will you look into whether it was 2.5 or 3 yard line?
But I do think, you know, I think if Harbaugh came out and just at the end of the game just said, "Look, I trust Lamar Jackson that he's going to make a play there." Instead, he was basically started talking about the analytics, which was dumb. But he did
start talking analytics, but Bri also, you're right. He started talking analytics, which I thought was dumb too, because at that point, you still had been kept scoreless in the second half. Get something going because, you know, the defense got Buffalo's defense. Second half was great. And Poyer, who didn't play the week before, had one, Sal, you mentioned, one of those key picks, and Buffalo held them scoreless in the second half.
We watched this like live. We did Spotify live with this, right? This is the early game. And we it really was, Bri, you're right, the worst of all worlds that he was picked in the end zone, right? Because now you're not making them drive the field. Now they get it at the 20 and they only need a field goal. They ended up driving the field anyway. But that's the one thing you can't have is a pick in the end zone. And then you lose the 18 yards of value there.
The way the Bills were playing that game in the second half, they probably just come down and score a touchdown anyway. So,
I'm sorry if I could just bust in there. Should the Ravens have let them score a touchdown?
That's another thing. Looked like half the team wanted them to score and half the team were. They weren't on the same page with that. I swear there was like some linemen who were olaying it and then the linebackers trying to tackle. Yeah, that was a weird final minute that worked out, I guess, how it should have. Josh Allen was 3-1 for MVP going into this. We thought this would be a matchup that moved the odds. It didn't really. I mean, I guess you can't really make him plus 250 at this point in the year. Mahomes 5-1 right behind him. Jalen Hurts plies plus 550 and Lamar Jackson plus 550. Herbert's the one that moves down at 16-1, even though despite the win. All right, Joel. I mean, Kenny Pickett's debut. What do you give him? A to F. You lose 24-20. But he had three interceptions, but two touchdown runs. Interesting outing.
I mean, three interceptions, but I feel like only two of them went off the receiver's hands.
Well,
I don't think
anything. First one was very much underthrown, so you get what you get for that. But all right, go ahead. What grade do you give him?
I would give him. He did provide a spark, which is what Tomlin wanted. I would give him a solid C, right there in the middle. And what's more worrisome is, if Tomlin knew he was going to go to him, he had 10 days to prepare with him and probably should have just started him at home against the Jets, a winnable game. And now we're stuck with what do you do with Trubisky is the bigger issue because it's still such a long season. And I don't think you see him again
for a while. I will say, Tom, you get stuck as a coach having to answer these questions, but it was after the Thursday night game against Cleveland where he said, I guess he stuck to his word. Trubisky did start, but it really did seem like, wow, he wants to shelf this guy for the whole season. But he was back in there. Trubisky, I guess, had his shot. They're not scoring. This is the Steelers' way, not putting up points. They lost 24-20, but Zach Wilson rallied the Jets. I got to give him a solid shout out there. And now they play the Dolphins. That's a fun game. And it's definitely without Tua. The Dolphins, they claim that he's not playing, right?
Seems to be out indefinitely.
They just announced it. Okay. They have to sit him. What do you think, Parley Kid? 6 weeks? I don't know if the league's going to get involved, but
I mean,
5 weeks, 6 weeks?
I feel like almost to like Thanksgiving or something like that. Yeah. That's what I would think.
I would say that's fair.
Yep.
And don't let him decide when he can come back either because he'll be back Sunday if that's the case. What have we missed? Bills, Ravens. We did Chargers, Brawl, the Texans. Oh, your Giants, Harry. Your former team, the Giants. Go ahead. Go off on Fields. 11 is getting better. 11 completions, usually 7 or 8. And actually dwarfed Daniel Jones' stats. I know Daniel Jones was out with an ankle injury, and then Tyrod Taylor went out with a concussion. But somehow 174 yards passing for Fields, 71 for Daniel Jones. And what was the leading wide receiver? 11 yards. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Leading wide receiver was 11 yards for one with one reception, but still won Bears late in the game. We were on Spotify. It made no sense when there was like 3 minutes ago. They have 4th and 2 from the 50 and they punt. I mean, that's just, you can't coddle Fields. I mean, I guess you can. I mean, that you're going to continue to lose, but Sal, I still think the Bears though, and Barkley, like I said on Friday, let Barkley win the game for you in New York. And that's exactly what happened. He was amazing. Another 146 yards rushing, but Sal, like I think the Bears are the worst team in the NFL because of their offense. But yeah, you're right though. Just because of the defense and part like it, you mentioned it, because of the defense overall, it might keep them even in games when they're not scoring anything and doing nothing on offense. So they may be able to pull out a winner here, you know, maybe be able to beat Detroit once or twice and down the road. But Jesus, Bears team, just it's so awful. Every week it's the same thing. 19-10, 20-12, 10-8. You know, these games are awful between whoever the Bears are playing because they have no offense.
Yeah, but I think you put Fields on the Giants yesterday and Giants still win. Right. I don't know. I don't want to get down. Mooney actually had a final. Everybody wanted to cut Mooney. Finally had a decent game. But yeah, believe me, I have the Bears to have the fewest wins, but they're going to be frisky for sure. Thank God. Thank God, Parlay Kid, we beat them, the Giants. I mean, can you imagine? We don't have spaghetti here. He's doing -3. Imagine how insufferable those Giants are. They're already at 3-1. Horrible to deal with, but huge win. The biggest win of the year, no matter what. Titans beat the Colts 24-17. Taylor, has he got an ankle injury? That held to 42 yards on 20 carries.
I think high ankle sprain.
High
right?
ankle? Oh, man, it's contagious all around. Derrick Henry, 114 yards, 22 carries with a touchdown, 24-17. So now the Titans are 2-2. Are they atop that division? I can't even keep track. I mean, they are, right? At 2-2?
Yeah, it's tied with Jaguars.
Jacksonville's also 2-2. Colts are 1-2-1, right? All right, so that's how that goes. The best game was Seahawks-Lions, 48-45, which that's a scoreigami, babyface. It's a 1,073rd unique score in NFL history. I would have thought we would have seen a 48-45 before. To me, the highlight is DK Metcalf having to be carted off to go use the bathroom to make a number two, and he admitted it. This is terrific, Harry. Oh, yeah. This is what you have to get in your life, right?
I mean, Harry's never been carted off the podcast to go to the bathroom. I mean, there's a chance he has, Sal.
Should we have a signal, Harry, if you need that done? Could you wave or something? I don't know, tug your ear or something that if you need to be carted off to use the bathroom?
I'm fine with that. I'm fine.
Spectacular. And he had a good game, and Geno Smith is throwing. This is what I mean. 70% of his passes have been complete this year. So another team that you thought was rebuilding and would have, you know, in that 2-3-4 range, win range, is going to be frisky and stay in these games. Falcons tied for first with the Bucks. I know they play this week. 2-2, they beat the Browns 23-20. So, Miles Garrett didn't play. Yeah, go ahead.
The Falcons seem surprisingly kind of fun to watch, right? They've scored 23 or more in all four games. They've lost by one. They've lost by four. They've won by four. They've won by three. These games are pretty good when the Falcons are being involved in there. And now all of a sudden, they have like three running. Aside from Patterson, they had two guys yesterday rushed for more than Patterson, who was second in the NFC rushing heading into yesterday behind Barkley.
Algier, I love when Harry just rattles off the stats. But no, Algier, this is a guy who's been cut like four times in our league in like 3 weeks. Did you draft him, Harry?
I drafted him, but he's a rookie. Rookie out of, BYU, right? BYU. He was great last year.
Yeah, 84 yards yesterday. You're right. Patterson injured, still put up 38. And, you know what you're getting with Mariota, right? I don't know if this is a playoff team. Somebody, I think Simmons was saying it, but 7 for 19, 139. You know, he'll screw up once in there. But, thought the Browns had it. I thought this was a game they were going to win, and 2-2 now for the Browns. All right, it's time to deep dive into the collectively crush soul of the degenerate trifecta in a segment we hate to call Bet Aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
All right, Brother Bri, take it away. I think you're the sole bed ache victim this week.
I'm the only one?
Wants to admit it. I can talk about the Mets for 40 minutes if you want, but yes. I'm not putting money back in it.
I will say I had a good week. I had a good weekend in general in terms of at least yesterday betting. Mm-hmm. But on Saturday. All right. So the Alabama-Arkansas game, I don't touch it. I kind of liked Arkansas getting 17.5 at home. I don't touch it. Now, at this point in time, Young's out of the game. Alabama's winning by 20 points. I decide to jump on the Arkansas getting 21.5. I put a pretty good amount of money on the Arkansas 21.5. It just seemed like momentum was starting to shift just a little bit. But then that's when Arkansas went on that fantastic run, right? They cut it. Now they cut it to what? They cut it to 5 at that point in time. They scored the next two touchdowns and a field goal, I think, and they missed the two-point conversion.
How much time was left, Brian? How much time left in the game at that point?
No, it was late third, early fourth at that point in time. So I'm just assuming I have it in the bag. Now I'm driving in the car, too, and I'm listening on the radio. And now Alabama, so actually I was home for this one, but Alabama on 3rd and 15. Now Arkansas has a chance to get the ball back and take the lead. The backup quarterback runs for about 75 yards down to the 1 yard line. The next two possessions, the kid Gibbs, a 75 and like an 80 yard touchdown back to back. So they had like three of the next five plays were 75 plus yard plays. All of a sudden the lead went into the 20s, and then Arkansas right at the end of the game had a chance to get that, you know, have a little backdoor cover for me. They didn't get it on fourth down inside the 20. Right. So that just sucked. I was writing that off. That was one of those. I was writing that off as a win. And didn't get it. You know, but that was definitely my worst loss.
I had Bam on it. I love that this is your worst loss, and yet the Lions cost you $8,000. But this is the one. That's all right. We don't have to talk about it. No, it all hurts. But listen,
blame
all winning bets
one.
Out there. Go out there, Caesar Sportsbook. Do it right now. All right, listen, whatever you're betting, teasers, over, under, do it through Caesars because they have all the names. Caesar himself, Cleo, the Mannings, Henrik Lundqvist, and now yours truly. Yes, Against All Odds is now a proud member of the Caesars Empire. And your very first bet, it's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app, use promo code CZRFULL, and go full Caesars this season. Oh, you must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii,
Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Maryland, visit Maryland Gambling, mdgamblinghelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Visit CONNEXontario.ca or call 1-866-531-2600 or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
All right, listen, there's a game tonight. Rams at 49ers. We're going to get to it. We're going to do the breakdown of the side, the total, props, and first touchdowns when we return.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Monday Night Football tonight, Rams and 49ers. The spread is 2, 42.5. Harry claims that they only give Buck and Aikman good games, so It will probably fall right on 2 or 1 or maybe end a tie. Who knows? They get all the good games. I'm taking the Rams. +2, and I know I'm on the square side here taking the Rams, but I don't care. They look like they're back on track after that loss to the Bills week one. You can't keep Cooper Kupp out of the end zone. If he doesn't catch one, he runs one. Cam Akers is now contributing. Everybody wanted to cut him in their fantasy league. Meanwhile, 49ers lost a ridiculous game to the Broncos, a team that I felt like would take 12 quarters for them to score. But somehow I'm still on the square side because I'm really looking at last week and zoning in when Jimmy G has a 6-0 record regular season games against the Rams. But I think there's too much pressure on them right now. They're going to get right, the Niners, but not this early in the season. They still have some things to work out with injuries. That O-line obviously is in trouble. Armstead and Kinlaw are questionable on the defensive end. The Rams should be able to run the ball with those run stuffers, getting their snaps monitored. 24-20. Rams and the over. That's my Monday night pick. Harry, you're going under.
I really do like the under. I like under 42.5. San Francisco quarterback wise, whether it's Jimmy G or Lance, they can't throw. 30th in the league in passing yards. San Francisco on defense, though, has been tremendous. They've allowed only 37 points all season. They're second in yards allowed, third in points against. And the Rams defensively are coming off their best defensive performance of the season. And you probably wouldn't believe it, but stats-wise, the LA is just 25th overall in total offense. When these two teams met in the NFC Championship game last year, physical game, 2017 final. I think that's going to be the final tonight. I don't know who wins, but 2017 final. And it goes under 42.5, just like the NFC Championship game.
Let me ask you something, Harry. When be honest with me. When you pull a stat and says San Francisco's 30th in the league in passing and the Rams are 25th in the league in offense, are you going by yards per game or are you just adding them up and not considering that they played one game less than everybody else?
That was before Sunday.
What do you guys think, Bri? Is he telling the truth?
He might be right. I did read some Yeah, bad stats. Yeah, that,
I'm backing Harry on this one.
All right, Harry. That's fine. And either way, you're right. I mean, you look at a number, and that's what it is. All right, Parley Kid, you like the Niners here.
Yeah, Sal, I do. And I think I do because of a lot of the things Harry said. The 49ers defense has been very good. The Rams offense hasn't been great this year. It's been less than stellar. Robinson hasn't really been a factor in this offense like they thought he would be. They kind of still searching for that number two receiver that Stafford can rely upon, even though Kupp is just a machine. And I know we're going to talk about Kupp in a little bit some more. So, the 49ers are a thorn in the side of this Rams team. They're physical. They can match the Rams' physicality. Shanahan is the one guy that gets the best of McVay. Like last week, we loved McVay over the Rams because Cardinals because he owns the Cards, right? The 49ers own the Rams in this matchup. I'm going to ride with San Francisco. They just somehow have their number. They just do. They're just a physical team that gives them fits. And being that the Rams are struggling anyway offensively for them, for what the standard we set for them, I'll roll with the 49ers defense, really kind of putting a damper on their offense.
Well, that's the one thing about 2022 NFL. You can't say, oh, the Rams are going to go out there and put 40 on the board. Like, no, you can't say that about any team.
Exactly.
So maybe a defensive struggle is the way. No, I fully acknowledge I'm on the square side. And, Bri, it looks like you are as well with the Rams.
Yeah, I am. I don't know. I'm nervous about this pick here. But I will say if the 49ers, because in the past I feel like I always took the 49ers in this game. If the 49ers were underdogs by 2 points in this game, I think I would have taken the 49ers. And
really?
Shanahan just said, Shanahan's had a lot of success against McVay, but in general, he's not really very good as a favorite. And I remember getting screwed multiple times on the 49ers. But I do think we have yet to see, obviously, the best of the Rams offense. I think, you know, a lot of that has to do with their offensive line. It's still taking a little bit of time for them to click. But, you know, Kupp has had the 49ers number. It's time for Robinson and some of the others to step up here. And the reason also why I'm really jumping on the Rams here is the 49ers are just banged up in general, right? Like their tackle Williams is out. It's possible on the D-line, Armstead and Kinlaw may both be out of this game, also missing maybe some others. So because of that, I'm going to take the Rams getting the points. And I think McVay in general has been pretty good on Monday Night Football as well.
Yeah. If we go to over the props, I kind of like this better than even the Rams pick. Jimmy G, two throw and interception at even odds. He tossed one against the Broncos, really two, but he stepped out of the end zone for one, so that didn't count. Rams defense has forced four interceptions through three games. Jimmy G threw a couple last year versus the Rams. You know, that Trent Williams injury is huge. You saw that game swing, right? I really think the Niners would have held on against Denver if he hadn't gone out. They would have been able to run the ball, whatever. So now he's still out with that high ankle sprain. Daniel Brunskill might be back. I still think he's going to be forced to throw a few bad balls, a couple tip balls. Even odds pretty good for this Jimmy G INT prop. I'm going with it at even. Parley Kid, you have a quarterback prop also.
Yeah, Sal, and I got to be honest with you, and this has nothing to do with our sports book here, Caesars. I searched high and low for a prop that I could maybe fall in love with. Something usually strikes my eye. I could find nothing with this game that I really loved. It was so hard to find something because we just don't know, what these offenses are really going to look like. Brian actually has his prop is what my EP prop pick was for the day today. So he'll talk about that. I'm taking Stafford under 36 and a half yards for his longest completion. Hasn't done it yet this year. Has not gone over this number yet this year. Their offensive line hasn't really been clicking, as Brother Bri mentioned. He's had to check down a lot. Kupp is only averaging about 10 yards per catch. And their deep threat, which they would have assumed would have been Allen Robinson, has not been able to get on track. I don't think he does it this week against the 49ers. So I just don't think Stafford goes over that long pass of 36 and a half. I rarely take this one, but it's something that hasn't happened yet.
You said you have over 94.5 for Cup on EP. You're threading the needle a little bit here. Yeah. I just this has little to do with Stafford. If you're asking will he connect on a bomb 40 yards or more, I would be with you. But he could throw a 6-yard slant, and Cup just takes
good.
It. You know,
he could, but it hasn't happened yet this year. I don't think it's going to happen against the 49ers.
All right. There you go. Brother Bri, you like Cup over 94.5 receiving
yards? Yeah, I like him over 94. And then my EP pick, too, I have him to score a touchdown. But look, when was the last time we saw Cup have back-to-back mediocre games? I mean, last year, like last week is probably the worst game he's had in the two seasons. So after getting limited to the Cardinals, you know, I just love him to have a bounce-back game. And he torched the 49ers last season. He had 142 yards in one game, 118 in the other. And 122 in the third matchup. So the thing about Cup, again, even if he's struggling maybe early in that game, he can easily pick up 4 catches and 50 yards on one drive. You know, I absolutely love this. I do think we might look back at this. This is kind of what I had early in the season. I had Cup over. We might look back and just said, this was the bet, right? This was the easy one of the night. But I do like the over 94.5.
Did you say, well, I think he's been a minus to score a touchdown every week this year, right? And I think he's the only player to score a touchdown every game as a minus, odds on favorite.
Yep.
He's
although amazing. The odds went down for this one minus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically it's basically kind of an even pick. Whereas in the past last year, I don't know if you remember even in the playoffs, right? He was like minus.
Yep.
Minus 180 to score against the 49ers. Yeah, everybody like that. Was all over. Something crazy. Yeah.
Because there's no way he wasn't scoring. All right, Harry, you're doing this again. You're in love with this, even though I think you lost with it last week. And it's, I think you like complaining about the stat over corrections more than anything with this tackle thing, because it's so up in the air as to what a tackle is and what a half a tackle is. But go ahead.
I understand. Yep. But I'm back on Fred Warner again. I'm going to go over 6.5. Last time it was 7.5. So I'm going to go over 6.5 tackles made, assist count at minus 154. Bri, you mentioned some injuries with the starters on San Francisco may limit their play. So not Warner. He had, speaking of NFC championship games last year, he had 10 in the game against the Rams. His last 3 against LA, 10, 8, and 8. 7 of his last 9 games versus the Rams, he's had 7 or more. And in 4 full seasons with San Francisco, he's had at least 118 tackles in all of them. He's a beast. He's all over the field. Give me Warner to go over 6.5 tonight.
All right, that's minus 154 for a bet. You can't even tell if you're winning. But all right, what was he last week? Was he 5.5 and it lost?
No, it was 7.5.
Oh, okay. You're getting
7.5 and he got 8. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. Still. Not happy. Right. I'm still not happy about that.
We're going to take another break and help Harry try to figure that out. And we won't be able to, but we'll be back with the first touchdown odds. Yes, this is our go-to.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, first touchdown odds. Of course, Cooper Kupp is favored, plus 440. I mean, he's the second best Cooper in all of football, next to the one on the Cowboys. We established Cooper Manning's up there, too. All right, so there you go. So we try to win as a group, right? Harry's hit the last two for us as a group and individually. Who'd you have, Harry? You had Mixon and Barkley? You had Barkley Monday, Mixon Thursday. We try to cut into this deficit because we went, the first 5 or 6 parlay kid without hitting one? Night games.
At least that many, right?
Oh, man. And we were so good last year. We were plus 80 units. I wonder if the way to do it is, I know we said, all right, take the favorite and then, you know, it'll be fine. We'll just, you know, chisel away, even though it won't make a plus on the week taking a favorite if it hits, as was the case with Barkley and Mixon. We cleared very little. I wonder if we take all 25-1 odds and hope to hit on one early, Bri. Is this the way to do it? I know we're not doing that today, but maybe that should be our path the rest of the way. Just pray that we hit early on. We each take 25-1 odds.
We're gonna we're gonna have to take fullbacks and second fullbacks and the second tight end or a quarterback that can't
tighten these up so much. Why have they done this
or something? Yeah, no, it's gotten it gets difficult. Yeah, when when you're only getting 8 or 9 to 1 for guys that normally in the past maybe were 15.
All right. Well, all that said, that's what I'm doing. I'm taking Tyler Higbee at +750. He hasn't hit pay dirt yet, but already 8 red zone targets this year. He averages 8 overall targets per game. In 2021, he led all tight ends with 20 red zone targets. Taking a shot here at +750. I don't know what more to say about it. There you go. Rams my pick, and Higbee at +750. Harry, you're right in that 7-1 range too.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brandon Ayuk at 7-1. Last week's game against the Broncos, it kind of seemed like Jimmy G was really looking his way more than Debo, more than the other receivers on San Fran. He does lead the team in receiving yards and average catch per reception. He leads on the team, and he did have the first touchdown of the
average
game
catches
last
per
week.
Reception. How many catches per reception did he have?
Yards per reception. And he did have the first touchdown last week against Denver. So maybe 2 in a row here with Ayuk at home.
Yeah, babyface. What's your complaint here?
Oh, I just agree with Harry. I mean, Harry always seems to be looking the other way. So I like this pick.
Okay.
This is a good pick.
Bry, you're going with a more conventional pick.
I don't get that. But, pick.
He'll explain it to you. We're out of breaks for everyone to explain. All right. Debo +430.
Yeah, I'm going with Debo +430. Just like I like Kupp in this matchup. Debo was equally impressive last season against the Rams. Rams averaged 124 rushing and receiving yards per game and also had 4 touchdowns in those 3 games, scored in all 3 games. I don't know if it's going to be rushing or receiving, but I feel like he's hitting the first touchdown a few different times in the past. I think he gets the first one here. Yeah, I know it's not great odds here, but you know, cut into our number a little bit.
Wait, is he favored?
He is favored.
Plus 430. Oh, I read it wrong. Yeah, so Kupp was favored when I checked this last night.
He jumped him. Yes.
I'm probably just gonna bet both of those guys tonight.
Yeah. That's not bad. Meanwhile, we need to hit a 20-1. All right, Parlay Kid, Kittle +850.
Well,
yeah,
Kittle,
there was a day when the tight ends would dominate this.
Right, exactly. I do like to use the tight ends here. Sal Kittle came back last week, was okay. So he's got his feet wet with his coming back. So I'm thinking game 2 he'll even be stronger. Now you're gonna find this at 750. There was an odds boost for Kittle yesterday, up to 850. Not seeing it right now.
We're counting it on the graphic as 850.
Yes, when I put this in last night, I was putting Kittle in. Yeah. It was an odds boost at
plus 850. I saw it this morning at 850.
Well, it's 750 now, unless there's some type of odds boost that's going to be coming back up. Again, the tight ends by the goal line. I like San Francisco in this game. I think they get on the board first. Why not? You know, if me, you, or Harry can hit here, and one of us is getting like around 7-1,
let's do it.
This could make a more of a dent into our deficit here.
Little bit. All right. I do see the 850 there on the Caesars now. Kittle as an odds boost.
Okay, there we go.
Looking at some of these other.
Okay. Yep.
Kupp over 9.5 receptions and a touchdowns plus 350.
Yeah, there he is. He is still there at 850. Thanks, Sal.
That might not be bad.
Do they have Aikman Bucks game to be decided by 3 points at any odds at that?
No, because that's ridiculous. Compared to the rest of the league, there's no difference at all. I don't know. Are you in love with that? Yeah, really. Yeah, Harry, if you really believe in this, you need to put down a spreadsheet.
I kind of do. I'm just saying.
Instead of just saying being your number one argument, why don't you see average margin of victory across the league versus average margin of victory in night games versus average margin of victory versus Aikman Buck games? That's how you would have to do it.
Okay.
Saying thing goes a long way. Don't get me wrong. But that's the mathematical way do this.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, their games are close.
I'm telling you. Well, I'm just saying, and then I'm telling you. So now we've been trumped. Forget about anything I said about doing research.
Come on, Harry. When you're sitting there waiting for Ken's toilet to be fixed, just do the work.
Put the
Let's
work
cut
in.
Him off to take
that's
a
tomorrow, Darren. Something. That's tomorrow. I told you that's tomorrow.
Oh man. Meanwhile, what about that NFL Network crew? Are they a beloved crew? I don't even remember who it was. I made a joke in the text.
It was Mark Sanchez.
Oh yeah, it was our guy Mike Sanchez was in there. Yeah. All right. Maybe they're looking out for him too. All right. This is all filler for me to avoid talking about the Mets. They lose all three to the Braves. They're up 10.5 June 1st. And now I have to decide if it's Darvish, Snell, and Musgrove or Wheeler, Nola, and Suarez. I mean, this is what I can't believe this. I can't believe it. Disgusting.
What Mets. Do you want, Sal? Which one would you prefer?
I'm thinking, I'm like looking into this. I think right now, the Phillies, right now, but I'm not sure. It's the other thing is I have, Hench and I have under 88.5 wins for the Padres. So I think there's no difference between getting the second or third wild card, right? You don't get a home game. Either way, right? Like all three are at Citi Field, no matter what, starting Friday. All right.
So what are you worried about?
What do you mean, what am I worried about?
This season wasn't about the division for the Mets. It's about winning the World Series. Right. Just sit back, relax, let it happen.
All right. I can't relax. There's no relaxing here. I mean, I'm still...
Are you disappointed in DeGrom?
Yeah, I mean, blood blisters. I'm disappointed that I don't have an excuse. Right? I would have been able to like, oh, DeGrom never came back. Of course, the Mets are going to lose. Or, you know, Scherzer's injury was longer than one. But, you know, Marte's out. But other than that, like, we just can't string together like three runs in an inning. We can't have a big inning.
Yeah, but Marte's
inning,
so good for them, Sal.
Yeah.
He's so good. He's one
setter.
Guy of three that they can't be missing. And he's certainly one of them.
All right. So, I don't know. I mean... They're not going to have they won't have odds for these tomorrow, right? Because that would have been the ideal time to go over these wild card round.
Not yet.
Because we still don't know. We still don't know what's going on. That just sucks. Just sucks, all of it. And then they play the narco music. And the Braves batter against Diaz.
Well, they said that that the Mets stole that from Contreras on the Braves. Like they've been playing it for years for him.
We don't steal.
Now what's going on?
We don't steal. I'm gonna bet this Braves team though. I'm gonna pull a Hench and bet.
Oh no,
they're pretty good.
I
have the Astros at 10-1. So I'm like, what result is gonna upset me the most? I think I'm gonna go Braves.
Well, what are they right now, Sal? The Braves.
Let me see. Now there's construction going on.
It's weird because it's like if they didn't win it last year, I feel like I would really be on them right now.
Yeah, well, they're 6-1. I don't think their lineup is much worse than last year, right? Yeah,
no, their lineup is actually their lineup's better right now.
It's like Olsen for Freeman, I think, is fine. A trade off. They're 6-1 now. Dodgers are 3-1. The Dodgers, Pauly kid, we should be making a bigger deal out of them, right? 110 wins is outrageous.
Yeah, I guess that's you're right. Sal, but I was told wins don't really matter anymore. It's like, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like wins, I guess. I it's crazy. 110 wins. My gosh, that should be talked about.
And they're
about,
not done yet.
They just march on. Nobody talks about them. I know they got the big payroll, but still, it's pretty incredible. And doing it, at least from, I don't know, you're out there in LA, but it seems like they're doing it under the radar. How are they doing that under the radar? How do you
win
that many?
Because I think they're expected to be here every year. Like yeah, it kind of is
still
the same
extraordinary.
Teams. Right. Like we still like salivate over Patrick Mahomes and his backward passes and everything like that. Right. Even though that we know the Chiefs are going to be a double digit team and make the playoffs. But you don't really get that. I know baseball's not as popular a sport, but you don't get that with the Astros and the Dodgers and these teams that just keep making it back. And for God's sakes, 110 wins. That should be a bigger deal.
I mean, it's weird for the Dodgers. I mean, I will say, I mean, the reason why it's even more impressive is like they've been they're starting pitching. I mean, they're missing. They are constantly missing starting pitchers.
Forget about Trevor Bauer. He's not even in the discussion anymore.
Right.
But
Bueller, Bueller's out.
Enough.
I mean, Kershaw's out half the time. Right? It's amazing. Although I will say, pressure should be on the Dodgers a little bit. They still really didn't win a real World Series yet.
They won the shortened
season.
What was it? That was in Tampa? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Judge odds. Talk about pressure. Oh, my God. So much pressure, Parlay Kid. People are mad about the college games being broken into. To me, the real race is Alonso, 131 RBIs, Judge, 130. Not many people are talking about that. But whatever. We'll keep an eye on that. the no for him to win Triple Crown is now minus 400. That Arias is now, I think, four points higher.
Yeah, and he has Arias no plays every other day now. It's ridiculous. Say, has, give me a freaking no break, Minnesota. Give me a break.
He has no trouble sitting two out of three games in a series.
I know. Got a four-point lead. On. Give me a break.
D, you are, D, you are right, though. You are right.
It's weak.
Parley, you had a four-point lead with three games left, and you knew half of Judge's at-bats were going to be walks the rest of the way. Would you sit?
Well, look. I think I would sit. Right, correct me if I'm wrong. When Ted Williams had a chance to sit with the 400 average, he played and boosted it up. That's what real men do.
He might
do.
Be even better than Arias. You're right. Yeah, I'm with you. Yes is minus 250 that he breaks his record. No is 2-1. I have it at plus 450. When does he do it, Darren? Four games against the Rangers.
Four games. And they got a doubleheader in there. So,
Is he going to sit one?
Is he going to sit one of those? I would think he's going to do a lot of DHing in this series right now. Mm-hmm. I'm calling it tonight, Sal. It gets done tonight. What are his odds? Jump on it right now.
What are the odds for Judge to hit one out tonight? I'll have to look.
There's no reason for Texas to have to pitch around Judge. They have zero to play for. Pitchers should be, trying to get him out, but at the same time, pitching to him. He's plus 200 to hit a home run tonight, Sal.
Yeah. All right. So, and that's basically in two at-bats. Let's be real. One of them he's not going to get. That's outrageous odds, right?
Considering no, it's not.
He doesn't have 100 home runs. He has 61. Not. Like if he had at plate appearance per odds, that doesn't work out. But all right, let's go around the horn. Does he break it? I say no. I got my money's on no. Darren, you say yes. And tonight, Bri? Just say it. You can say no. It's fine. You had a decent season.
Yes, but not tonight.
All right. Harry?
I'll say yes, sir.
Yes. Michael, you say, you still say he's going to have 64.
I'm going yes.
And Babyface.
It's a no. You can't break into the Manning cast when John Hamm's going to be on.
I'm saying in general, not just tonight. You're saying no. You guys have lost all faith in him. All faith except the parlay kid. All right. So that's that. Ohtani signs an extension, 1 year, $30 million. I don't know. That's a bargain. It's a freaking bargain.
And it really is.
Cole gets $36 million to pitch and not well. Ohtani, 34 home runs and whatever. Is that another year he can't win MVP, Farley Kid, because he's an angel? I'm not sure.
Look, it's going to be hard for Judge to duplicate his season. And then Ohtani will get it back next year. And then they'll have to sign him to a 10-year, $500 million contract after next year. Congratulations, Angels.
Judge will do it. He'll do it next year. When he's playing at Fenway, 81 games. Are you kidding me? Ball's going to fly out of left field.
Oh, baby.
Going to be just fine. All right, that'll do it. I got to get out of here. That does it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Mikey Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Na 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 na